Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
AutoNation.com/Atlanta.
He'll be sacked, and that's McKinley.
Our Falcons play here. The game. WCGC Atlanta. WCGC HD1.
Atlanta Sports Radio. 92.9.
Sports Radio 92 on the game as we get into this, what's going to be a great show today. So if you're just getting in your car, lock it here with Hugh and I, and we're going to carry you all the way through the day. It is a competition Wednesday for the Atlanta Falcons, and that means we'll head up to Flowery Branch, talk to the team ahead of the final game of this three-game road trip going to Carolina to open division play on Sunday. Also, head coach Dan Quinn's going to join us live in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll certainly talk to coach about all of the big stories surrounding the Atlanta Falcons. And to this, Hugh, I mean, we talked about, you know, this three-game road trip. It was one of the things we kind of pointed to on the schedule when it first came out this year. It started off, as we all know, I'm not trying to bring back a bad memory here, with a horrible loss in New England. And then you salvage a little bit with that win in the rain last week in New York or in New Jersey. And now, if you can go to Carolina on Sunday and win, it seems to me that makes this, even with the New England loss, that makes this three-game road trip a success.
Yeah, because you're talking about you're gaining some positive ground, you know, and it's a divisional win. That's huge. That's the biggest thing right there, John. It's a divisional win. Mm-hmm. And now you're starting to get into the media schedule.
Yeah, it does so many things for you to beat Carolina. It would make you, give you a fourth win in the conference. You'd be 4-0 in the conference. It would mean you're also 4-1 on the road, and again, that's huge. It would be, as you just mentioned, a division win, which is a double. It's a double win in the division whenever you win on the road. That's a double win in the division. It ends your first half, and you have a first half with five road games, only three home games, and you get to flip that around. You'll have five games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the second half of the season.
Yeah, but listen to this schedule coming up, John. You got the Panthers, then you got the Cowboys, who could potentially be without Ezekiel Elliott at that point. You got the Seahawks. You got to go out there to the Seahawks. Then you got the Bucks, Vikings, Saints, Buccaneers, all NFC matchups that you need. Like, you need those games. Like, the unfortunate thing about this three-game skid that you were on is that, yes, they were losses in the AFC, but they're three losses. Mm-hmm. Now you look at the schedule coming up, all NFC opponents.
Right.
And this is where you separate yourself in NFC, because the one team that we haven't talked about a whole lot is the Philadelphia Eagles. And right now they got one loss, and they look like yesterday with a Jay Ajayi joining the team that they've gotten stronger. Their team that looks like they're going to run away with that NFC East. They still got to play the Dallas Cowboys twice and probably going to play them without Ezekiel Elliott. So there's no telling what's going to happen with Philadelphia. But there's a good chance, you know, Atlanta take care of their business, that there might be that matchup looming in the future. So, you know, you got to make sure that you're in position to have that game here, as opposed to Philadelphia.
Right, and home field is something we'll talk about in the second half of the season. First order of business, of course, you know, even before then, I think we all agree, is the Falcons just have to get themselves right before we start thinking about even, you know, I want to jump so far ahead that we're talking about, you know, making a playoff run, but right now they just got to get right. This portion of the program with John and Hugh talking about the Falcons is brought to you by McDonald's. The dollar menu back at McDonald's. Oh, does that sound – every morning it sounds good when I read this. The sausage McMuffin. Because you got to go get one. It's only a buck. I wish I could leave the show and run down to the Mickey D's down the street and get a sausage McMuffin right now. A sausage biscuit. McChicken biscuit, only a dollar at McDonald's. The Falcons have announced that Leroy Reynolds is back on the active roster. They have placed Jordan Tripp, who's in concussion protocol, on the IR. And so Leroy Reynolds, who has been with the linebacking core, Duke Riley being dinged up now, with the linebacking core, this is good to have Leroy Reynolds back. I thought Kamal Ishmael did a really good job stepping up again, just like he did last year. Of course, he had the big fumble recovery, too, on the muff punt last week, that they're picking themselves up again. And so it's good to see Leroy Reynolds back, because I think that both Leroy Reynolds and Jermaine Grace were guys that kind of stood out a little bit in the preseason.
Yeah, and you're talking about now having Spoon back on the squad and trying to just bolster that linebacking spot, man. Mm-hmm. That's going to be huge. And it could potentially also help out that pass rush, because, you know, one of the things that the Falcons have been plagued by was the fact that, you know, the ball was coming out quick and guys weren't getting to the quarterback. So, you know, having those guys back there, a little bit bigger linebackers and cover guys, might help them get to the quarterback a little bit easier. Might help in the cover scheme, help them get to the quarterback.
Now, of course, we all know that last year the Carolina Panthers, they came off that 15-1 year where they went to the Super Bowl and, of course, lost the heartbreaker in the Super Bowl. Then they come back and then everything kind of collapses. They win 6 games last year. They go 6-10. And it started at the very jump of the season because they had that opening loss to the Denver Broncos in the rematch of the Super Bowl. And Ron Rivera at that time said, this is ridiculous. You could never have the rematch, blah, 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 blah. So Ron Rivera used this, we had the Super Bowl hangover, as his all-encompassing excuse for last season. Maybe some of it was true, but now Ron Rivera, facing the Falcons, was asked about whether or not he thinks the Falcons have a Super Bowl hangover from last year, and here's what he said.
The constant reminders of it. I mean, you know, when they were getting ready to play New England, you know, you sit there and you constantly hear it, you know, talking about, you know, the comeback. I mean, they were up, what, 28-3 and end up losing, you know, 34-28. I mean, that's difficult. It's hard. And then, you know, they lost to them, you know, in New England. I mean, those are hard. It's hard. I mean, you know, it's tough. And unfortunately, you know, we went through it and now they're dealing with it.
Now they're dealing with it. He's trolling hard. Even if he's not trying to troll, he's trolling hard.
See, I don't know. Because, listen, let me tell you, this is what happened this weekend with
okay.
me. You know, I've been working with that guy, Stan Norfleet, for a while. And Stan keeps it real 100, even when you don't want to. And he talked about this a little bit. He talked about, you know, we talked about all season long how it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. And then there were signs that it was a big deal going to New England. Now, being a guy who has played in the Super Bowl and know how I feel around that time of the year when the Super Bowl rolls around and thinking back about how it played out for me those many moons ago, I believe there's something to what he's saying. To what extent, I don't know. I think when you listen to Coach Rivera talk, he's very forthcoming. He's very forthcoming in the way that he feels and how it affected his team. Now, the Atlanta Falcons, I don't know if it's the case to the extent that he's making it out to be, but I think that there's something there. Because you look at their team, they were kind of devastated that whole season. And they still look like they're having some residual effects of that. I don't know if the Atlanta Falcons are there, but I will say that there probably is in the back of folks' mind that game. I'll say that, but not to the effect of or the extent that Coach Rivera is trying to make it out to be.
All right, so because you're uniquely qualified to talk about this, because you know what it's like to have unfortunately lost the Super Bowl, even though it was an incredible game, but also a Super Bowl that you lost to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So as you look at it now, is it possible that, all right, if I say that maybe I discounted the Super Bowl hangover a little bit, you know, I didn't give it enough credence going into that New England game. Now that you're a full game past that and going into this Carolina game, will that begin to soften for this team in the second half of the season? Now that you're kind of past that little thing,
I think it probably will. You know, when it really softens, but it'll always be with you. Is you got to win one,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what it feels like to do that because I was never in position to do that. But I think if they win one, they'll be fine.
How long did you get a sense on your Philadelphia team the year after the loss to Brady in that Super Bowl that you carried it for a while?
Well, I was off the team.
Okay.
And then you got to think,
that's
like,
right.
The guys that were a part of that run,
mm-hmm.
we were older. So you think, like, 3 years after the fact, we were all gone. We were all gone.
Gotcha.
So it was one of those things where, after a while, the turnover was so quick that it really didn't affect. This is a young team. And that's why I felt that at the beginning of the season that this wouldn't be that big of a deal because they're so young and they have time to correct those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they worked in offseason, they can move past this. But at some point, you know, at sometimes, probably during the day, you know, you're watching TV or something, and you see you could not have hidden from TV that week going into that game. Everybody was talking about it. And I know sometimes you see it and it just brings back those bad memories. It's almost like when you see an ex-girlfriend, like, that's doing extremely well for herself, and you see her like she's doing modeling or something, and you're like, oh. And you have that moment, but you Dreads. Move on. Yeah. You have that moment, and then you move on.
Dreads.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had a moment, and you move on. This team is still young. I think they can get past it. I don't think it's to the extent that Carolina went through it that year, because you think, John, that year they got beat up. They got beat up pretty bad.
From the jump, remember, yeah. I mean, because Cam Newton took two blows to the head, and the opening game against Denver was never the same guy. Matter of fact, he's probably never been the same guy since then to now.
No, and this team is fighting. This team is – they're a bunch of fighters. Now, it might affect them sometimes, you know, sitting at home by yourself, and be like, dang, we lost that Super Bowl. But they're fighters, and they continue to fight.
Yeah, because I wondered how much of it was Super Bowl hangover. I think I'm more inclined to believe, and I don't, you know, we have access to the team that fans don't, obviously, like when we go into the locker room today. But I also, watching them play just as a fan, I wonder how much of it, when they came out, especially when they come out, they beat the Bears in the opening game, and then they come out and they waylay the Packers. And I'm wondering, after the Packer game, where they beat Aaron Rodgers to death again, if they thought, okay, we're past the Super Bowl and we are the walkin' talkin', that they really started to believe their press clippings a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, John. I don't think so, because even in those two wins, they played sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how there were a lot of missed tackles on the field. They even talked about how many missed tackles on the field and missed passes and all that other stuff. I don't know if they felt like that. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on why the focus isn't there like it was last year. Now, the game against the Jets last week looked like they had that focus back, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So hopefully that carries over into this week playing against the Carolina Panthers. That's the only thing that you can hope for at this point, because we don't know. There's not enough evidence. There's not enough body of work to know whether or not that this team is over that game against the New England Patriots and ready to move on.
Yeah, just talking to fans, I was talking to a big Clemson fan named Tim Cowan yesterday, and we were talking about the college football playoff poll, and he was then asking about the Falcons, and we were discussing, you know, basically, is this team going to be able to get right? Because he's a huge Falcon fan too. And I was telling Tim that I said, I think I still am going to go full positive here, because I still think that they can get right. And when we say get right, I'm talking about being scary good again. I'm not talking about just winning a division. I'm talking about starting to stomp people again like they did at the end of last year.
Probably not. I think from now until the end of the season, it's going to be a battle. And what I mean by that is 10-yard fight. I think they're going to win a lot of games, but it's going to be a 10-yard fight, because teams are like the teams that you look at the teams on that schedule coming up.
Oh, I know.
They feel like they're in the hunt too. So this is not going to get any easier. The best thing that the Falcons can hope for right now, the Falcons, is that they correct all their mistakes, because the mistakes that you made in that Jets game, they'll get you beat fooling with the teams that you're fooling with.
Yeah,
now.
And you know what? You're right, because they got 9 games to go, all are in the NFC, and the only 2 games they play that are against teams that are not in the thick of the playoff chase, a division title or the playoff chase, it's only one team. It's Tampa, and that's just Tampa, and Tampa pretty darn good.
And Tampa's going to play spoiler, because you got them twice. You got Minnesota, New Orleans.
Minnesota's going to win the North. We know that, right?
Feeling good about themselves.
Dallas probably going to make the playoffs. Well, we don't know that yet.
And then the irony is, remember a few years ago when Carolina went to the Super Bowl, and I think it was the last game they played here, they took the L before going into the playoffs was here? You got Carolina at the end of the season. Like, at the last game of the season. And there's no telling what it's going to look like for the Falcons, whether or not they need that game, whether or not you're resting guys. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the crazy part about it. It's the roles will be reversed in a sense. So, there you go.
Going to be a huge game Sunday, boy. It's going to be a lot of fun just to check out what's happening with the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. And, of course, the game will be live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our coverage on Sunday begins with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show at 9 a.m., and then we'll have our pregame coverage at 11. The Wait For Tailgate Show, of course, Stan Norfleet, Knox Bardeen, Andy Bunker, and Hugh. At 11, the pregame show with Mike Conney, Randy McMichael, and Wes, Dave, and John on the road again, this time from Charlotte at 1 o'clock on Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, there's big news for the Carolina Panthers in the trade wars yesterday that's going to maybe benefit the Atlanta Falcons this week. And there was a huge botched trade. Wait till you hear these stories. We have those next as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Probably my favorite time of the show every morning, the very latest from, you know where, the National Football League. By the way, Falcons fans, you can score a touchdown from Kauffman Tire, official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Stop by any Kauffman Tire location today and get a free 3-minute auto check. It's free. It's 3 minutes. It's a Kauffman Tire, and they always say, go Falcons. Well, a lot in the NFL trade deadline yesterday happened, including a big trade that involves the Atlanta Falcons in a roundabout way, because the Carolina Panthers up and traded Kelvin Benjamin, and suddenly he is gone and not going to be facing the Falcons this week.
Yeah, and they already kind of like receiverly challenged, and they got rid of Miss Cleo. Not Miss Cleo, but Cleo from Set It Off. He did look like Cleo because Daryl gave me that look, but he did. He was kind of heavy. And I think a few weeks ago he had like a knee injury or knee issue or something like that. So he was one of those guys that I guess Coach Rivera felt like it was time for him to move on because he wasn't serious about the business of football.
No, the Bills get Kelvin Benjamin for a third and seventh round pick in next year's draft. And without your star tight end and without Kelvin Benjamin, you're going, well, what do they have left? I mean, who are they going to throw the ball to?
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's it, pretty much.
The suicide passes that they like to throw.
Well, we know that from the Jets that there are times where there are receivers that you've never heard of that can get open and make plays because every Falcons fan is going, who the hell's this guy? Why is he making catches downfield in the rain? Losing Kelvin Benjamin, what it probably helps more, again, is probably a situation where, even though he was fat going into camp, he's such a big, wide frame that down in the red zone, he becomes a threat, and he's not there anymore.
No, he's not. And you're talking about his game. The game last week, John, the game that they won, he had 3 receptions for 39 yards. So that production was not once what it was. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they felt that it was time to move on. I tell you one thing that he's going to learn, though, that it gets real cold in Buffalo, and he's going to have to get by a coat. All that extra weight that he was carrying, all that extra meat, he's going to need that because it gets cold in Buffalo.
Yeah, I thought that helps with the cold when you're a little bit heavier because, there's more
it
covering.
It helps walruses because they're kind of equipped for all that
to
carry
all
that blubber. Yeah, it's a little bit – nah, for him, I don't think so.
I think blubber helps wide receivers too.
I don't know.
The scoreboard then on the NFL trade deadline reads like this. Kelvin Benjamin from the Panthers to the Bills for a couple of picks. Rashard Robinson from the Niners to the Jets for a fifth-round pick. This goes back over the last week and not just at the deadline because Marcell Dareus got traded to the Jaguars by the Bills for a sixth-round pick. Dwayne Brown, we mentioned yesterday, goes from the Texans to the Seahawks for a couple of picks, including a second-rounder next year and quarterback Jeremy Lane.
Jeremy Lane, just a heads up. He failed his physical.
Oh, he did.
So they got an extra pick, and Jeremy Lane goes back to Seattle, and there's probably a chance he'll be cut, but he did fail his physical.
Mm. Jimmy Garoppolo, much discussed, going to the 49ers. Jay Ajayi going to the Eagles in what might be the most impactful trade, with the Dolphins sending the running back for a fourth-round pick. And then, of course, there is the other news here, which is about the botch. See, now these are the deals that were done. But there was one deal that was done to send A.J. McCarron, the former Alabama quarterback, to Cleveland. But they botched the hell out of the deal.
Initially when I heard it, because I tweeted out that A.J. McCarron said he didn't want to go, I initially thought that they had the deal done and A.J. stepped in and was like, nah, don't do that to me. But you have to think that this morning he woke up and was like, God is good that this didn't happen. He had to have been thinking something like that because, boy, I think if he'd have went to Cleveland, like, he would have had that opportunity to start. He'd had an opportunity to play. But you'd have been on the clock for quarterbacks that have died and, like, their career has stalled in Cleveland. And I'm from Ohio, so I feel like I have the right to say this.
All right, so here's how the Browns botched the trade, okay? So they want to get A.J. McCarron, and they want to get him to – you know, to Cleveland. All right. So in order to have the trade done by the deadline at 4 o'clock, the NFL offices in New York have to have a signed trade deal from the Browns and from the Bengals. Now, according to Cleveland.com, what happened was the Browns, instead of sending the signed trade deal to New York, they sent it to Cincinnati. Cincinnati had the Browns signed trade deal, but the Bengals then sent the trade deal to New York with only their signature on it and didn't send along the one that had the Browns signature on it because they figured the Browns had already sent it. They were just getting a copy of what the Browns had sent to New York, but the Browns never sent anything to New York. As a result, somebody in the Browns office went, oh, we'll just send this to Cleveland without sending it to New York. No trade. You missed it. You, too bad. They realized it like 2 minutes after the trade deadline when they said, hey, how about our trade? And the NFL said, we got nothing from you, Cleveland, about any trade. Well, we sent it to Cincinnati. Yeah, but you got to send it here. Well, you mean we don't have a trade? Nope, you ain't got no trade.
Just like that, huh? That...
so Browns.
Because they were celebrating.
See, that's Bo's take on it, is that everybody was in the office high-fiving each other and happy.
That's what was reported, that they were celebrating the trade, and they screwed it up because of that. The good thing for the Browns is if they really, really, really want A.J. McCarron, they can get him in the offseason because he's going to be a free agent. He's a restricted free agent after this season.
Yeah, but that'll help them now. And they'll help them win a game now.
Nothing going to help them now. They're like 0-7. I mean, this season.
0-8, right?
Okay. Well, there you go. Even worse. Even better. The season's done.
Yeah, because now we're wondering if the Browns or, you know, the 49ers, 39ers are going to win a game.
49ers might win one. They might win one. But I would say that. I would put it like this. The 49ers win a game before the Browns do. Anybody take that bet?
I would hope that the 49ers do, considering they just traded away a couple of picks for the next Tom Brady.
That's not guaranteed to happen, but they got a capable guy, they feel, and Jimmy Garoppolo. So, yeah, I feel like they will win a game before the Cleveland Browns.
All right, so all of this set against another big story in the NFL that we have to get to, and that is the Zeke Elliott. Because now we know that they're going to be going back and forth in court, right? I mean, and we're trying to see the Dallas Cowboys are trying to get him to get another stay so that he can continue to play, because right now he's suspended again. Jerry Jones speaking out about this yesterday. A couple of cuts from Jerry Jones about the very latest. Now, at the moment, Zeke Elliott's not playing for the next 6 weeks, which includes the game against the Falcons in 2 weeks. Here's Jerry Jones talking about the power being wielded by one Hammer Roger Goodell.
The ruling was really has more to do with the scope of the commissioner's authority and not really a bearing on whether Zeke is guilty of domestic violence or not. And that's where this stuff gets so convoluted, let's say.
All right, so he's saying that this is about Roger Goodell being an overbearing guy, and it really isn't warranted, this whole suspension. It's just about Roger Goodell being a jerk. Essentially, and so I'm going because I botched the Ray Rice thing. I'm going to, you know, and that's basically what I think he's saying.
He did kind of say that because he mentioned Ray Rice in that soundbite. I wish, matter of fact, Daryl's about to play it. Go ahead and play it, Daryl.
I feel so reactionary towards maybe a Greg Hardy story or a Ray Rice story, and it feels like the league's trying to make a little bit of a statement to appease the masses. Is that a fair feeling to
absolutely
have?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've swung from where this 2 years ago by the same collective bargaining agreement in my mind, and he would be playing by the same collective bargaining agreement and the same commissioner.
Of course, that on our sister station in Dallas, as Jerry Jones, part of this. So he says overcorrection here for the whole thing about Ray Rice. Whether that's true or not, there's an internal power play going on. We know this for a fact. There's an internal power play going on right now in the commissioner's office, and Jerry Jones is leading, for lack of a better term, kind of a revolt against Roger Goodell. And this is the, he doesn't want to have him extended. Maybe he wants him out. He's mad about this whole thing. I mean, this is kind of palace intrigue to me.
Well, he's trying to force his hand. He's playing the only card that he has left by trying to muscle Roger Goodell. This is what I find interesting. I wonder what was his vote when Tom Brady was going through essentially the same thing.
He said that Tom Brady and Robert Kraft just needed to take the medicine, or take the penalty, that, basically.
That's why I find this ironic, because Zeke arguably had two best back-to-back games that he's had his whole career. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but he's had two back-to-back games that were really good. So That's one of the reasons. And on top of that, like we talked about for the Falcons, you are about to get into the meat of your playoff run. And now it looks like, potentially, that you won't have your best runner in the game. And you know everybody that you have on your schedule looking at that is looking like, man, he might not be there. He might not be there. So they're licking their chops, especially the Philadelphia Eagles, because you got them twice. And then you got the Falcons in a couple weeks. They're like, that cat's not going to be there. That changes everything for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's what Jerry's looking at. And that's why he's so adamant about, you know, coming at the commissioner's neck right now, because he needs Zeke to be out there on the field.
Well, yeah, and just looking at the numbers, because I pulled up the game log, against San Francisco, 147 yards, two touchdowns. Against Washington, 150 yards, two touchdowns.
Yes.
Man.
Back-to-back 100-yard games, just getting it. He carried the ball, I think, the last game about 33 times.
33 times. Yeah, stand by for news on that. We'll see if Zeke Elliott gets another court ruling that allows him to play again for Dallas. Otherwise, you're not going to see him here in Atlanta in 2 weeks. Which wouldn't break our hearts, I don't think. Wait till you hear this. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to chop up here as we head towards the top of the hour where Falcons head, and hear this, Falcons head coach Dan Quinn joins us live on this Competition Wednesday with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now hear this, now hear this. Hey, did you hear this?
Hey, you got to hear this. ZeroRez has a deal for you now. If you're looking for getting your house right for Thanksgiving, you got to get a hold of them at ZeroRez, because three rooms, $139 at ZeroResAtlanta.com, and their slots are filling fast. So, you know, hear that, right? The as you know, we have the Atlanta Braves, and of course we have the Gwinnett Braves, but we're not going to have the Gwinnett Braves for very long. The G Braves are going to change their nickname.
To what?
Well, they're going to change their nickname in December to one of the finalists. And you ready for the finalist list? You tell me what you think they ought to change it to. Okay, here are the finalists.
Is this going
to
be funny?
I just got a feeling
it's going to be funny.
Here are the six finalists for the G-Braves to change their nickname. And they've been saying for a long time, now whether you think so or not, but the G-Braves are saying with the Cobb Braves and the Gwinnett Braves that the people are getting confused as to which game they're going to in Gwinnett when it comes to the Braves in Cobb County or Gwinnett County. I don't know how they make that mistake, but that's what they're saying. So here are the finalists, the six finalists for the new nickname that will be announced in December. The Gwinnett Buttons. Now, the Button Gwinnett was the county is named after Button Gwinnett.
And what is the other name? Is that it?
No,
could
there's
you
six.
Imagine a giant button yes. mascot?
Go Button!
Let's go Button!
Go Button!
I want to be the mascot.
B-U-T-T.
Oh, someone forgot the O in the end.
I think that might actually win. Believe it or not.
I think it'd be cool. I want to be the button mascot. Can I be the button?
How many people know about that?
Or like that it's named after Button Gwinnett?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Betty the Button is the name of the mascot.
A lot of people think that Cobb County is named after Ty Cobb. It's not.
I always thought it was.
It's not.
Oh, how about that?
So Gwinnett Buttons. The second one is Big Mouths.
Huh?
The Big Mouths, like, you know,
like
a bass.
The bass fish?
You'd have like a fish running around.
So you could give out, so a giveaway on like a fan giveaway day would be those like mounted fish that move.
Well, you know.
Big mouth?
Big mouth. Like a big mouth bass. Big mouths.
I should be in their marketing department.
Gwinnett Big Mouth.
Right, the Gwinnett Big Mouth. Number three, the Gwinnett Gobblers. Gobble, 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 gobble. Yeah, you do it better than I do.
Turkeys.
So turkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Nah.
No?
No.
All right. The number four, the Gwinnett Hush Puppies.
Yes. Hush puppies are good.
They're sad looking, though.
What is okay?
Oh, you were thinking about.
I was thinking of the food.
Yeah, I was thinking of the food.
You're talking about the puppies. I remember hush puppies when we were little. Like you used to wear the shoes.
The shoes.
The shoes, hush puppies. Okay, is that it?
No, they got two more. But I'm just thinking about puppies, you know, I mean, as a nickname, you know. lamb chops. The Gwinnett Lamb Chops.
Who tells
that mean they're
going to
have like a little baby
these are
lamb?
These are their six finalists.
If they're going to have baby lambs on the field,
chop, 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 chop on lamb
That's
chops.
That's terrible. All these names are terrible thus far.
And then the final one is the Gwinnett Sweet Teas.
Can they just stay the Gwinnett Braves?
Yeah, all those names are terrible. And they're not really, they don't strike fear in the hearts of your opponents. You need to have a more of a scary name like the Bobcat, Gwinnett Bobcats, or the Gwinnett Bears.
Grizzlies.
I play for the Sweet Teas.
Yeah. Hey, he say, go Sweet Teas.
Meow.
Lamb chops.
Go Hush Puppies.
No,
that don't fit.
No, I was my name. I actually submitted a name that didn't go anywhere. I tried it because you could submit names, you know, for the potential. Because I put in Gwyneth Paltrow. I thought it'd be fun.
Gwyneth, that's pretty funny. That's okay.
That's tremendous.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Better than the ones that I've seen.
That's what I thought, too. And at least maybe she'd show up and throw a first pitch or something.
The Paltrows.
But,
you could have Gwyneth Paltrow night.
You know, I mean, it'd be fun, right? You could have, because, you know, you have some minor league teams that have fun nicknames, right? I mean, the Sand Gnats or the Lug Nuts, the Lansing.
What is Savannah's name? They've got a good one.
Yeah.
The Sand Gnats.
The Sand Gnats.
That's terrible.
You know, I mean, the Beach Bums. Traverse City's the Beach Bums. You know, didn't Long Beach. Oh, I guess it was a college team that was the Dirtbags?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that's a cool name.
Dirtbags is a cool name.
I like the name Dirtbag.
Yeah. So you could have a fun name like that. You know, Dirtbags is a cool name. Gwinnett Dirtbags.
I like the name Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas, is that what they are?
Those are the best. They have one called Savannah Bananas.
Look, the greatest nickname of all time in all of sports was a minor league hockey team in Macon, the Macon Whoopee. Macon Whoopee.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's the greatest nickname of all time. And they played down there in Macon, the Macon Whoopee did. And, I mean, it was great. That's the greatest nickname of all time. Can't be topped, the Macon Whoopee.
I want a T-shirt. I wonder if there's anyone who has a throwback.
Oh, I'm sure there is. You could probably go online and get a Make a Whoopee T-shirt. Yeah. That's
amazing.
They need to come up with a better name, though. That name is kind of horrible. That name is very horrible. Like, the selection of the names that they've chosen from is kind of horrible. So they need to.
Yeah, the Buttons, like the Big Mouse, the Gobblers, the Hush Puppies, the Lamb Chops, or the Sweet Teas. I mean, if they don't want to be the Braves, that's fine. I mean, the Braves are one of those few franchises that actually has a most of their teams are nicknamed the Braves. Because and to the Gwinnett Braves, you know, look, you have the Atlanta Braves, the Gwinnett Braves, and the Rome Braves all within about 50 or 60 miles of each other, 70 miles of each other, right?
Wasn't the Durham Bulls theirs also?
Yeah, they were part of the Durham Bulls for a while.
Okay.
You know, but so, I mean, you know, because for forever and a day, the AAA franchise of the Atlanta Braves for a long time was in Richmond. They were the Richmond Braves of Richmond, Virginia.
I remember that.
Right, before they moved to Gwinnett. And so, you know, they're just trying to distinguish themselves, which I have no problem with, by the way. I think that's fine. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of looking at this list of nicknames.
But if you have to pick one, which one are you going
with? Well, I think the Buttons is going to win because of Button Gwinnett and the ties to stuff. So I think they'll end up being the Gwinnett Buttons. That's my guess.
I probably would say the same thing. I mean, they're all terrible names. So if anybody's listening that has any pull, y'all need to do better. Those are terrible names.
You got a name to throw out there, Hugh?
The Grizzlies.
Grizzlies.
The Gwinnett Grizzlies. The Thundercats. The Gwinnett Thundercats. That's and they can have Lion-O out there with or a fake Lion-O.
Panther.
With red hair and, like, yellow skin. That's way too much like the Thundercat for real.
What's that?
The Macon Whoopee is kind of cool.
There you go. The Macon Whoopee.
Or the baby cake. Remember the baby cakes? I went to New Orleans, I was trying to find a baby cakes T-shirt. They did not have any. It was hard to find a baby cakes
T-shirt. Is that the name? Did they change the name of the team?
No, that's the name of the team. The baby cakes.
The baseball team?
Yeah, the baby cakes.
Because they were the Zephyrs. Now they're the, right? And now they're the baby cakes, huh? Well, everybody tries to get, you know, kind of clever. And so anyway, we'll see what the Gwinnett Braves decide. I can't know. I'm just going to guess that they'll end up being the Buttons. Head coach Dan Quinn, live with us after the top of the hour. Some of the headlines, and then we'll talk with Coach Quinn live as we head towards the Falcons and Carolina Panthers. It's all next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And you can follow Wendy's tweeting out right now on our Twitter at 99 The Game.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.